All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this. I have a pretty amazing girl on the phone. She was actually one of my wing girls recently at an event that I did in Hollywood, and she was phenomenal. She really has a true insight into the way that women think, feel, what they want, and she was really, really great at explaining that information to the guys that were part of the event. And her name is Jamie, and she is on the phone with me right now. Say hi, Jamie.
Hi!
Aside from being so wonderful and intelligent, Jamie is also smoking hot and absolutely the hardest worker that I know right now. But I wanted to talk to Jamie about, number one, her experience as a wing girl, and number two, I want to talk about long distance relationships, because that's something that you have a lot of experience with, and I think that your explanation and sort of your side, the female side, on how to handle long distance relationships so that everybody feels comfortable, especially the woman that you're with, will be great for everybody to listen to. But first, I want to hear about your experience when you were one of my wing girls.
Oh my gosh, it was fun. I kind of went into it not really knowing what to expect, but everyone was fantastic. I really was amazed at how all these men were successful and handsome and smart, and I just couldn't imagine why they would have a single problem in the world with women. It was amazing to see these handsome guys that needed help, so it was a really cool experience. Everybody was so lovable and friendly and fun. And
What was the one thing that probably, other than the fact that they were, you know, quality men, being attractive and intelligent and amazing, what was the other thing that really surprised you? As being as detailed as possible, like things that stood out to you that you may have not known before about men.
A lot of these, I didn't realize. Maybe this was just my group that I had. They had all had a bad experience in the past with women, or just a simple insecurity that limited them from being able to open up to women. And it's just one insecurity can ruin everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, you know, as a woman, we all think we're fat. That's no secret that we're all insecure, but I had no idea that men had it too.
Right, that men have these insecurities. And so what was your advice to these men that had, you know, one thing happen in their life? Like what were you able to tell them that they were like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to feel that way anymore. That totally, because I saw that they, you know, they transformed and suddenly became successful, you know, with women, because I've heard from them since the event. But what were things that you were telling them as a beautiful woman, as a quality woman, as an intelligent woman, that really helped them get a better point of view?
Just to open up. And we practice a lot of things in the approach.
Okay.
Just making simple observations. Women want to talk about themselves. That's
right.
Basically what I told them. And if you make it, if you approach a woman and compliment them on their necklace or whatever, anything that stands out, there's probably a story behind it. And they'll say, oh, thank you, my grandmother gave it to me, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns into a whole story. And then next thing you know, she's been talking for 5 minutes and you've spent 5 minutes with this girl and you have a better understanding of, you know, she's basically told you her life story over a necklace compliment.
Exactly.
So,
that is helpful.
You know, all this information. Yeah.
But that's great. It is important to get information from the women that you're approaching. But there are some times, you know, obviously for the guys that are listening, where it's like, I can compliment, but I don't get any response back from a woman. So what would be things that you would help guys, like tell them that if they didn't get a response back from a woman, what were ways that they could themselves open up and share to help get that type of response from a woman?
It takes definitely going out of your comfort level. If that means going up and dancing, doing something goofy, even if it feels awkward.
Yeah.
And it won't work the first 5 times probably because you feel so awkward, but it's just doing something that stands out, I think, and not doing the typical, I don't know. I get like, every day. Your eyes are so pretty. And the second thing, so it's nice, but it's like you kind of got to think outside the box.
Well, actually, because what I'm hearing you say is that it's like you can't be boring, you can't be dull, and you can't just spit compliments at a woman that don't mean anything. Because when you just said, like, guys come up to you and say, you have beautiful eyes, and I have, you know, I've had it as well. Oh, you're so attractive, or oh, you're this. I'm speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure you're going to agree. You kind of look at the guy and you're like, all right, what else do you have?
Yeah, like, is that all you got?
Exactly. It's like, is that all that you've got? And like what you were saying before as well about getting comfortable, where it might feel uncomfortable the first five times doing something out of your comfort zone. I think also what I'm hearing that you're saying is that, like, really being, I would say, proud of who you are and comfortable with whatever action that you do is attractive. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly. And with your being a wing girl, with my group, we practiced kind of going outside the box and, you know, playing these games that where you walk up to someone and ask them a silly question and see their response. And it is awkward. And these guys definitely didn't feel good with it for the first 30 minutes. And then afterwards, we're all having a blast and laughing and, you know, kind of learning from that. So it doesn't feel good at first, but it's kind of, women want someone that is out of the box.
Who doesn't really give a shit, right?
Exactly. I guess that's the main thing. Someone who doesn't give a shit. And that's an attractive quality in its own.
Yeah. And like, I believe that's why it gets kind of confusing when women end up with bad boys and jerks, it's because initially they are that guy who doesn't give a shit and he just has fun and enjoys his life. And then later on down the road, you kind of realize you're like, oh, and you're unreliable and you don't care about me.
Yeah.
And you're a dick and I don't want to be with you, but I'm going to fight really hard to change you and make you want me. And that's a whole other topic that we can discuss, but exactly what we just said, it's like, it's really like a guy saying that they don't give a shit. So whether it's getting, you know, experimenting with yourself and doing things that make you uncomfortable until they finally become comfortable, or saying things that you wouldn't typically say, those are just the practice steps when you're in that uncomfortable phase. It's when you get out of that uncomfortable phase after practicing numerous times that's when the interaction starts to happen. Which I think is great.
Exactly.
I'm so happy that that's what you got from the experience, because you were fantastic and the guys loved you.
Oh, that's so much fun.
But I did want to talk to you about long-distance relationships, because I know that you were in one. I don't know all the details, but let's talk about, like, the details about how long you were in a long-distance relationship and how long you were together, just so my guys can understand the position that you and your current boyfriend were in.
Yeah, well, I met my boyfriend in Colorado, and I was still in college, and he was done. So we dated in Colorado for about a year and a half, and he was in film production, so he basically needed to be in L.A., and we were madly in love with each other and everything, but I kind of was supportive of his career, and he had to move on, and so we decided to do long distance, and I drove out to L.A. with him to help him move, and we kind of said our goodbyes. And that, of course, didn't work. We were, you know, talking on the phone every day still.
Oh, so you were still
together.
It was really
hard.
You were still together.
We were still together. We didn't separate. We planned on I had two more years of college left.
Okay.
And I planned on meeting him back in L.A. in 2 years.
Okay.
So after almost a year of long distance and so much money on flights and crying and jealousy and calls at midnight asking who you're with and, like, you know, I hear someone in the background, who is that? And just total trust issues, we broke up.
Okay.
And we both dated other people.
Oh, wow.
For about 10 months. And we both were, you know, we even... you know, fell in love with these other people.
Really?
Yeah, and then we, after 10 months, we started talking again and realized that we were still crazy about each other, and we left our other people, and now we're back together and living together in LA.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, so that's so wonderful. So can you tell me, like, because I want to go back a little bit, the parts where you were talking about jealousy and not trusting the other person, and maybe from a woman's point of view, if you can explain to me either how that could have been avoided so that you would have been okay being at a distance, or letting me know what it was that possibly created that experience for you. Because no matter what, you have to take some ownership, right? Because it is partially you, but there's another person involved when it is a partnership where it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's, okay. So, I would love to hear, you know, just your opinion on what you think was going on during that time.
Well, Facebook doesn't help.
Right.
Facebook's the worst. So, if you go in a long-distance relationship, just befriend the girl and have a real relationship.
I think that's actually a really good piece of advice.
But the jealousy thing, you know, part of it was because I knew he, in L.A., you know, hot girls, and I just had all these, I would almost make up stories in my head of what was happening.
Okay.
Even though Jeff was probably lying in bed, about to go to sleep, and I was convinced that he was out with all these hot girls. Avoiding it would definitely, you know, what we didn't do is establish this. When he moved to LA, we didn't establish boundaries and, you know, verbally say, we're going to do long distance, we're in this, and establish the trust and establish what's going on. It was kind of like, see, who knows what's going to happen.
Okay, so expectations were discussed.
Yeah, expectations absolutely were not discussed. And so that kind of creates immediately lack of trust because you didn't talk about it.
Right. You can't, because can you tell me why, from a woman's point of view, that's important to talk about it before? Because you were saying that you were having, you know, and guys do this too, like a visual in your mind of creating these scenarios that you could picture happening. So what does talking about it do? If you were to talk about
it. It's reassuring.
Okay.
It's basically just the reassurance that every woman needs that we're the prettiest and that we're the funniest and that we're the smartest, and the reassurance that they're not going to go look somewhere else.
Okay. And how often do you need that reassurance?
Pretty often.
Every half hour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always nice to be reassured that, you know, not daily necessarily, but, and you know, it doesn't have to be verbal. It can be sending flowers to my work or a cute note on the door when I get home. It doesn't have to be like, you're the prettiest, you're the nicest, you're the smartest. It could just be a cute little something.
Yeah, just saying I'm thinking about you, because I had a similar, not the exact same situation, but my husband, when we were dating in the very beginning, he's a producer, so he would go away on shoots for months at a time. And for me, because we didn't, exactly what you said, we didn't talk about him going away, I didn't know what him being away looked like, because I'd never been with him when he's on a shoot or when he's editing. So for me, it was all in my mind what I was creating about how his day went, or when he said that he's in an editing bay for 24 hours, that he didn't really mean he was in an editing bay for 24 hours, because again, it wasn't tangible for me and I didn't know what that picture really looked like. And so I would create scenarios, and we had a really tough time because I wasn't able to articulate it as well when I was younger. But when we got older, when I got a little bit older, I was able to say to him, not that I need reassurance constantly. I don't need you on the phone with me for an hour and a half every night. But I do need quality time for 5 minutes just to know that I'm somewhat important in your life, even though you have a million other things going on. So what that would look like was a text from him randomly during the day saying, thinking of you. or something like that that was really small. Because as soon as I had something like that, it meant that I still existed in his mind. He wasn't looking elsewhere. He has other things going on, but he still thinks about me and I'm still important. Important enough for him to reach out and write me a little text. And right away when I received those texts, I would breathe and calm down and I would go continue living my life. But if I didn't receive those texts, I would freak out. And it got better over time because I finally got to see his world of what he was involved in and realized how much demand was put onto him. So that helped as well. But I would still get to a certain point where I would be mad if I didn't get those special moments that nobody else got.
Yeah, exactly. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
With long distance, it's upsetting if there is, I mean, is it actually upsetting and impossible to maintain a relationship if there's not that once a day communication?
Definitely.
And again, not verbal, but anything.
Exactly.
And so it could be a sweet email that just has like a heart on it. Anything.
It does. And do you think, did you have to do that back to him? Did he need that as well?
Say that again?
Did he need that as well? Like, did he need that attention from you?
No, he did not.
Okay. So,
which was also upsetting.
Which is extremely upsetting when you hear that somebody doesn't need you. It's the worst. When you decide to actually be there and be the caregiver for somebody and they tell you, they're basically saying, without saying it, that they don't need you, it is the most heart-wrenching thing in the world for women.
Exactly. And I'm sure he, since I would do it anyway, even though he didn't need it, I'm sure he just got used to it and never expressed that he liked it.
Right.
But it's not like he would call and say, you know, I missed you today.
Exactly.
He could definitely go a day without it, but he doesn't realize that women can't. And that's just universal, women can't.
So what's the difference between him appreciating you one time during the day and him being too much? Like, so if he went away to L.A., what would have turned you off?
Oh, this is so confusing for men to understand, that there's, like, a fine line between sending a cute note that says miss you and then going way overboard. And that's a turnoff, definitely.
Okay.
Getting annoying when guys just, you know, they know you're at work and they still call you and that you... Like, you know that I can't answer right now. And then constant text messages are obnoxious.
Okay. But what do those things say to you? Like, when a guy is doing all of that stuff, what do you think in your mind? Are you thinking, oh, my God, why is he calling me? Or does he not have a life? Or, oh, my God. Like, what are the things that you think about him when he does that?
It's definitely needy.
Yeah.
And doesn't he have a job?
Right.
It's like a little, it's annoying. It's like, it's not, I guess the best way to put it is that it's not masculine. It's like being a little yappy dog.
Actually, that's how I would put it as well. It's like being like a little needy dog who like runs the door as soon as you come home. So,
exactly.
So it's interesting because I know it's a really difficult thing for a lot of guys to understand. But so the difference is, it's like, you know, throughout your day, if you're really busy, your life is going on, and you literally pick up your phone and you text the girl that you're seeing or you're dating, and you say, thinking of you, put the phone down, go back to your life. That's super sexy and attractive.
Go back, yeah.
But if you are a guy who's like, I'm madly in love with you and I can't live without you, and I love you, I love you, I love you, and then like text that four times throughout the day, that is too much, okay? Even though it seems like it would be romantic and wonderful and nice, it's too much, correct?
That's correct. I would love that like once every 3 months.
Right. See, same with me.
Like a true love letter once every 3 months, but not via text every day.
Oh God, because that would be so annoying. So, but that's funny that you're even saying that about somebody that you're madly in love with, who's away from you. You know, you don't really get to see them every single day. Well, obviously, you don't get to see them every single day. It's interesting that you're saying you wouldn't need that or you wouldn't want that.
Oh, we're so confusing.
I know, it is so confusing, but it's for me, it seems extremely clear-cut, and the way that we're laying it out is very clear-cut. It really comes down to whether you want to reach out to me or whether you need to, with some other intention behind it. And automatically, women can feel that. So if you, I call it pouncing. When you pounce, when you text all the time, when you call, we think, I know that I do in my mind, that there's something else you're trying to get out of us, something else you're trying to figure out, trying to not be forgotten by us. It's too needy. It's not being confident and secure in who you are as a man, not being masculine, which is exactly what you had said before.
Yeah, they're constantly looking for reassurance if they're texting all the time. And it goes back to what we talked about, how we like a man who doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So it's finding the perfect balance of not giving a shit. But still being a sweetheart.
Exactly.
Like there's a perfect balance of that.
Well, actually, this is the last point that I kind of want to finish on with you. So many guys write into me and talk about how they hate being the nice guy. They don't want to be the nice guy. Can you explain to me a little bit about what it really means to be the nice guy? Because it goes hand in hand with what we were talking about before. Because I tell people and guys that women want to be with nice men. They don't want to be with wimps. They don't want to be with needy guys and eager guys. But nice is the nice label that we give a guy when he's actually being eager or needy or kind of feminine. That's my belief system. But I wanted to hear sort of what your thoughts were on that. Do women want to be with a nice guy? What nice really means?
The nice guy almost sounds like the needy dog.
Right.
My boyfriend is fantastic, and what the nice guy means is, being a gentleman and caring for my needs. So, you know, just being a, maybe, you know what, it just means being yourself.
Right.
Being yourself and then loving the person you're with, and then you're the nice guy. You could be a total tough bad guy and just be yourself, and that makes you the nice guy because you're just being yourself.
Okay. So nice isn't a bad thing is what you're saying. Or is it?
Say that again.
So is nice a bad thing? Like, a lot of guys are like, I don't want to be the nice guy. I don't want to be nice is what they're basically saying. Nice guys finish last. Oh, like, you know, like,
it's definitely not a bad thing. It's just a term that society coined,
right,
for being a good man.
Right. But I'm saying, like, you know how people say nice guys finish last? Which,
oh yeah.
So then nobody wants to be the nice guy.
I see.
So I guess what I'm trying to ask you is it really that bad to be a nice guy? To really be a nice guy, not what the word nice is trying to imply. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
That's what girls want, I think, nice guys.
Yeah. Well,
no one wants to get stuck with an awful person that doesn't treat them properly.
Right. So maybe you can help me in spreading the word that women actually want to be with nice men. Nice men is just the cover-up term that we use to be nicer ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Especially for if you're thinking long-term in marriage, women definitely want the nice guy.
Definitely. And then
The nice guys are comforting, and you feel secure, and they're supportive.
And so short-term, we want assholes?
Unfortunately, sometimes, yeah. Short-term.
Very short-term.
Like a date, one date.
And
that's really exciting and exhilarating, one time.
And then you want to get rid of them.
But long-term, definitely we want the nice guys.
Okay. I like it. I like all of it. So thank you for talking with me. I think this is really helpful to a lot of guys, definitely. Just to have a female perspective on how it what they think and how they feel on the other end of a long-term relationship, because it can get very sticky. And the important things that I took away from the conversation that you were saying is the importance of reassurance, appreciating your partner, but not over appreciating to a point of neediness and eagerness. And then also discussing expectations and having constant communication with your partner while you're away is really, really important in order to have a successful long-term relationship, or else it can go to shit, basically.
Exactly. Communication is key for long distance.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. I will let you go get back to work now, but I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Marnie. I'm sure I'll see you very soon.
I'm sure.